Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to the car wash. This is episode number 60. On today's show, we look at some of the PSL's transfer rumors. We celebrate Ronaldo becoming the all-time top goal scorer. And we look at Hrobler and Gabuza, the league's new deadly duo. Whether you're listening to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or Mahit Gang's 96.7 FM's Game Time, welcome to the show. I'm, of course, not alone. I'm joined by former Ajax Cape Town and Mamelodi Sundowns goalkeeper, Mr. Sean Roberts. How you doing, Sean?
Thank you. What's happened to our cool intros?
I felt like it stole the thunder away from your jokes. You know, I come through too funny, and then your jokes aren't funny, and
fair
then
enough,
it was like, ah.
Fair enough. I'll take it. I'm good, thanks. Thanks for asking.
And the one and only Mr. Teko Modise, former Orlando Pirates and Mamelodi Sundowns midfielder. How are you doing, Teko?
I'm good, Slu. How are you?
All good. Well, it's been a very political week, and I'm happy to be on this show with you guys because, man, it just felt like we weren't focusing on anything that we care about, like, you know. Trump is he's funny and all, but you know, Sean's a much bigger jokester in my mind.
Oh yes. This is a nice one today. This is for Teko. What did one ocean say to the other ocean? Nothing, they just waved.
Oh man. I felt like Sean like laughs at had his own jokes to try and get us to laugh.
So good. Thank you.
None of it. Well, we begin today's show with pole position. Poll position is where we ask a question on our Facebook to our readers and listeners, and you guys respond with your voice notes. This week, we asked you guys, should Sundowns have let Cerino leave?
No one says, of course, the
rumors that have been swirling, and they were confirmed by both club and player that Cerino wanted to go to Al Ahly. They were interested in having him, but they've ended their pursuit because apparently Sundowns asked for too much. So we're asking, should Sundowns have let Cerino go, especially given the fact that they have more than enough in attack? Here's what you guys had to say.
Yebo, kuluma nasikhumbuzo kamlaba la. Odabeni le Sundowns ne Al Ahly. No Cerino. Ngowami umbono ngithi mina iSundowns ebingamdedela uCerino ahambe ngoba vele siningi indondo esiyithathile ekhona uCerino. Angiboni ukuthi khona indondo esabahlusi. Ngibona sebeyithathile abefuna ukufeza sebekufezile. Sebengamdedela ahambe. I will Al Ahly ayozama khona aqhubeke phambili netalente lakhe. So iSundowns bengaba right ukuthi imdedela. Ngiboni into esangayo inqabela naye esayidinga kuyena. Okuningi sebekwenzile. So it's better right to them to tell him and I hope he's washone kona lewe alakle.
And there you have it. It's an interesting topic. Cerino, I don't think he walks into that Sundowns team anymore. But he's still a very, very good player. And I think, of course, Sundowns would try to maximize profits here. But, Sean, do you think that, they're being a bit too stingy here and they should perhaps let him leave to have guaranteed starting 11 time?
Look, Slu and Teko will definitely agree with me here. You know, it's not just Cerino. It's there's plenty players. When you sign for Sundowns, you sign for Sundowns. If you sign for a 3+2 year, which makes 5 years, 99.9% you'll be there for those 5 years. I don't care who you are. That's Sundowns' rule. A lot of players will, and Pizzo has said this in the press, it's all cool signing for Sundowns, but then you must honor your contract. It's all nice to move for the money, but then after 2 years, you're not playing and you start complaining. Well, why did you sign the 4 years straight? Mm. Do you know what I mean? Look, there was a significant offer for Cerino on the table. Money's not a massive option for the owner of Sundowns. We know that. Of course we would want to see him move on and play. He's a great player, and for him and Pizzo to be reunited would have been a no-brainer. And like you said, he doesn't just walk into the Sundowns team at the moment, does he? So he is still taking up a foreigner spot as well. Yeah, there's two ways of looking at it. You sign that contract, you must be prepared, and that's the word, you must be prepared to honor it. Don't sulk if another team comes in and they can't match your wages or match what Sundowns are asking. So, yeah, it's a double-edged sword. There's two sides to this. I would have loved to have seen him go. Yeah, and he was unlucky not to be able to move, to be honest. Maybe there's a bit of sour grapes with Pizzo leaving the way he did. That's why the move was probably blocked. But again, I reiterate, when you sign for Sundowns, you sign for Sundowns. And, you know, you look at Lucky Mahomi, a good example. You know, so, yeah, Riyad Peters, a good example. I mean, there's 10, 20 of players that are in a similar example. So, yeah, Teko, it'll be good to hear your opinion on this.
Just real quick before Teko, I think I misspoke when I said that Serena would be guaranteed the Al Ahly starting 11 spot. I think that's a bit of an exaggeration, but yeah. You know, obviously Pizzo's a big fan. Anyway, sorry, Teko. What are your thoughts on this one?
So, firstly, I think Serena is still one of the most important players for Mamelodi Sundowns. Irrespective of what's happening between him and the team, because if you remember, once the rumors started, and then there was talks that he was injured and all that type of stuff. So he hasn't been playing, he hasn't played too many games. But now that the saga is laid to bed, Serena is still one of the most entertaining and most talented attacking players that Mamelodi Sundowns have. With all the players that are there, Serena is still an important figure in the team. And looking at the team now into what they're trying to do, they're trying to come back again and reclaim the champion. You know, CAF as well, dominate the league as well. You want the best players on the pitch. You always want to have your best players on the pitch. And Sundowns, I don't think this season they've ever had an opportunity to put out the best 11, because there have always been issues with COVID issues, injuries, and all that type of stuff. But I think with Serena, I don't think the money is an issue. I think if Al Ahly wants to pay the money that Serena is valued for, I think they will. I think they should. And I also believe that if Mamelodi Sundowns is a team that believes if the deal makes sense and we do find a replacement for the person, I think he will leave eventually. But the problem comes when you want to leave and the deal doesn't happen. You just renewed a contract 6-7 months ago. You signed a new contract. Now you honestly want to leave, and when that doesn't happen, then you suck. That becomes a problem for footballers. Now they're becoming emotional. Now their professionalism goes out of the window. You should understand that if you sign a contract, you renew a contract, whether it's 5 years, whether it's, I don't know, 3+2. If there's no buying out clause in that contract, chief, stay there for 5 years, because you just signed 5 years. Because now, if there's no buying out clause, there's always going to be back and forth as to how much your value is, and then the team will. If there's a buying out clause that probably maybe escalates every season or whatever the case may be, if there's some sort of an agreement as to if the team wants me, this is how much I'm gonna, this is how much the team needs to pay, and then you've got an idea, and then when Al Ahly comes and then you're like, guys, if you're able to pop out this type of money, then the deal, then you might start talking about it. But the problem is, you, as a footballer, I mean, you be a professional. You can't sign 6 months into the contract, a new contract, and then after 6 months, then there's an interest of you, and then you want to go. Then you want to force yourself out. But you just signed a contract.
Do you know what Sundowns were asking, price-wise?
No, I don't have an idea.
Yeah.
This is something that I want to ask about, Sean, because I think I have a guess as to what's really going on here. I think midway through a season where the Nedbank Cup still hasn't started, Sundowns are kind of looking, going, look, we have a good balance right now. Like, do we sell a player who's proven in the PSL and then have more on our plate down the line? Or do we overvalue him so that even if they do match that price, then they have plenty of time and money to spend on a replacement? Do you think that that's what's going on here?
Yeah, I think so, Slu. But again, I'd love to know the number, so whether we can say whether he's been overvalued or not. It's I mean, do you think it's north of 50 million or north of 40 million? Or I don't know. I mean, if you think about it, it's only 3 million euros, you know, which is not massive in terms of football numbers, but it is massive in terms of South African numbers. So I am surprised, Lou, that he didn't go, but I understand why he hasn't gone, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Do you think, Teko, that Cirino is the type of player that's easily... that Sanders could easily find a replacement for, or do you think it's hard to find someone who fits that mold?
Nah, it's not going to be easy to find a replacement, but Sundowns can find a player that can come and contribute differently. I highly doubt there's because I don't want to take anything away from Serenio. He's a hell of a fantastic player. I think what he has done for Sundowns it's amazing. And to find it, for me to come out and say Sundowns can find a replacement for Serenio, that's wrong. I think Sundowns are capable of finding a quality player that might contribute to the team differently. And Serenio is contributing to the team differently. That's why Tembazwan is contributing to the team differently. Those are talented players, but they play differently. And I think it's important for Sundowns to keep him as much as they can, because if you still want to dominate, if you still want to win all the stuff that you said you want to win, you need to have your best players on the pitch. You need to have your most influential players on the pitch. And now, with COVID issues, with injuries, with suspensions, you need that team. You need your backup. You need players to be ready all the time. And also, Sundowns haven't found their form yet. It's like Sundowns, they're in their form where they can say, like, yeah, it's fine, let's sell Serenio, and they're not in their form. They're not dominating. Yes, they're in good position on the log, but they're supposed to be there because of the quality players they've assembled.
Sure.
Yeah. And they are tied with Swallows, who don't have that type of budget.
Yeah, but Slu, the league is 30 games, Chief.
It is.
Yeah, so we know game 16, that's when the league starts. So for me is I would love to see Swallows on game 20 being on still top four. I would love that. I think I'll actually say that Swallows are probably maybe, you know, the most surprising team this season. But we all know that the league, things tend to turn around in the second round. We all know what happened last season. So let's not talk about it.
Yeah. You know, in other transfer news, Sundown's still on the list here. And this one comes as no surprise for a number of reasons. So Deruk, Rushin Deruk of Maritzburg United, of course, he was heavily linked with a move to a big three team in the last transfer window. He ended up staying. Maritzburg, of course, not having the strongest start to the campaign this season, but things are starting to look maybe a little better with Middendorp back. But I think it was always going to be a matter of time before Deruk leaves Maritzburg. There was no question. It was just really a question of, does he go to a big three team or does he go abroad to Europe potentially? But now there's strong links with him and Sundowns. And of course, Sundowns do have the unfortunate void, of Mucheka Madisha to fill. And here's Deruk. Young South African homegrown centre back. I think this is a move that makes sense, right, Sean? What do you make of it?
Yeah, but like you say, Slu, I mean, me first preference, I'd love to see more of our homegrown talent go to Europe. Is he good enough for Europe? Well, I don't know. I'm not too sure. But if you're good enough for Sundowns at that age, you probably are good enough for Europe, to be honest. Maybe a lower league in Europe, but certainly get your foot in the door and then go. So. An obvious one for me. Surprised that it didn't happen beginning of the transfer window before to one of the big three. But they will miss him if he does go, that's for sure. And that's if they survive, they will miss him big time. So it'll be interesting to see who they get as a replacement if he does go.
Deko, I have a question for you. Do you think that Maritzburg United made a mistake by not selling Deruk last transfer window? Because now clubs will probably try to undervalue him compared to what they would have paid because of this season's slump for Maritzburg United compared to the high that they were on last season. So do you think that they were a little bit slow there, or do you think they'll still get his value's worth?
I think Slu, we've seen such mistakes being done by other teams as well, you know, when the player is supposed to be, you know, to leave it at the right moment when he's at the peak, when the value's still up there. You know, we've seen the teams, you know, turning a blind eye, and then a couple of months later, now they want to sell the player. Now he's half of what he was supposed to. And I think with Maritzburg as well, I think that's the same case, you know, with how the team is performing right now. But because of the age of Deruk as well, I think the value is still high. And if Mamelodi Sundowns are willing to pay for the type of money, or even a European team, they will pay because of the age that he is in and the type of position as well that he plays. And let me tell you, like, I don't know whether it's a funny story or not, but looking at it now, it's funny. Not funny, haha. Like, when I was still playing at Cape Town City, I remember seeing this boy for the first time. You remember there was a point where Maritzburg would play all their home games on Friday? Mm-hmm. And I was in camp watching Maritzburg play, and I saw this boy play, and I promise you, I called John Committee and said, John, you need to look at this boy. Just look at him. Just sign this boy. He was raw at the time, but you could see the potential, the talent that he had, you know? And I remember at the time we still had the problem of a center back. I think Robin Johannes just left, and we always had a problem of to getting somebody as a center back. And look at his value now. Look at the conversations now, you know? And I would have loved to see him in Cape Town City at that time to be properly coached. Not that he's not coached, but you know, he can be better, and if he does, and also with the talent that he has, and he was one of the nominees for Defender of the Year. He's in the Bafana fold. He needs to start playing.
Yeah.
And sometimes to break through into Bafana first 11, you need to play for big teams. If that overseas move doesn't happen, Sundowns is the best. He will play at Sundowns.
Yeah.
With his age, he will definitely play as a center back. And for me, it will be great to see him play. And like Shona said, he'll love to see players going overseas, especially our South African players. But also, if they're not going overseas, our talented players, I'd love to see them start winning trophies.
Yeah. You know? And I think at the end of the day, he might have a better chance being spotted by scouts if he's playing well for Sundowns, as opposed to Maritzburg United. So it's one of those things where I think he just has to make the right choice. Maybe not sign for too long if he does go to Sundowns, so that he has the option of making the move over to Europe.
But Slu, the problem is. I've heard people say that I don't want to sign for too long but you must understand Sundowns are gonna sign you based on how much they paid for you.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's if Maritzburg speaks about whatever zeros they're behind, Sundowns will give you the contract based on the zeros they paid for you.
Yeah, of course.
And that becomes a problem, because even if you want to play one season at Sundowns, it's impossible. And for me, it was gonna be great to see Deruk being playing regularly in the Bafana setup, and then doesn't need to go to big teams to be scouted, because then in the Bafana setup also you can be scouted as well.
Yeah.
But we all know, let's not get to Bafana politics. We know no centre backs will play there if you're not playing for any big team.
Yeah, true. And you know, speaking of centre backs, we move from that into Chiefs chasing Phillies of Cape Town City, Tariq Phillies. Obviously, this would be for the coming June. They can't make the transfer this January. But this is one that we spoke about a couple months ago, where Phillies is also being targeted by the top three. You know, when I look at Chiefs, I kind of like this signing. You know, Phillies is one of those players. He's not flashy, but he's like a hard man that's just tough to break through and break down. And I kind of dig that idea for Chiefs backline. Sean, what do you make of the potential transfer here?
Look, it's for me, Philly should have gone last season or the season before. What's he now? 29, 30. So he's okay with age, but he's not a spring chicken. It's a hit and miss. We don't see many Cape Townians flourish in Johannesburg. Do you know what I mean? It's been a story of the past. So, but yes, Phillies at Chiefs, if he performs, if it's a right move, great move, great move, and well deserved.
Decker, you actually you've worked alongside Phillies before. What do you make of him going to Amakhosi?
So before I comment on the move, the possible move to Amakhosi, I think Tara is, if not the best centre back that can play football in the country, he is one of the best. We speak about Jonas Mento that comes out and play at the back. We speak about centre backs that actually are comfortable on the ball, and Tara, is one of those guys, and I'm not surprised that he's been chased by top three. I just hope when he get there, it's not scoping, you know, kicking forward, and then they start changing how he plays because they're interested in how he plays. Then when you get to the big teams, let's not start the ball at the back. Cape Town City is starting the ball from the back, and he still defends as hard. And he plays the ball as hard. I just hope, because this is me answering what Sean was saying about we don't see many Cape Townians flourishing in Joburg. It's because when they come this side, they're forced to change how they play. And it becomes difficult for them to readjust to what they're not used to. You know, I think it's important if Chiefs do sign him, like we spoke about it last week on the podcast, that when Kaizer Chiefs are signing players now, is it Gavin signing or Kaizer Chiefs? Because those are two different type of players.
Yeah, correct.
You know, so we need to be clear exactly as to who wants to sign Phillies. Chiefs, yes, we understand Chiefs is a brand, but we know that if you're signing Phillies, then you're gonna need to have a goalkeeper that will start the ball from the back. Because he's a comfortable footballer, he wants to play the ball. He'll never kick the ball forward.
Yeah.
He's that type of a player, and I think for me it's a right move. It's a great move for him to go to the big team and be in that position. Hopefully by then the crowd will be back, because I've always told them about the importance of the derby, you know, the importance of playing in a 60,000 capacity crowd. I've told them how nice it feels. And I told them if they can't get that with the Bafana team, then they'll get that with the big team, but they need to work hard to play for the big team. And that's true. We all know, we love Cape Town City, but we all players need to have ambitions of playing overseas, if not overseas, big teams. And I think this is an opportunity for Phillies. If it comes through, that's a great move for him. But I just hope that it doesn't change the way he plays, because I think he deserves to be in the Bafana setup.
Definitely. Last PSL transfer rumor story of the day is Bongi Ntuli. Now, towards the end of last season, there was a rumor swirling, and AmaZulu swiftly denied this. Actually came at our sister publication Kickoff on their website saying, you know, that it was outlandish rumors, saying that we basically said Bongi Ntuli handed in his transfer request. He doesn't want to be at AmaZulu anymore. Of course, now this season he's had that long-term injuries kept him out, so he hasn't been able to be as prolific as last season just yet. I think he returned to the bench recently. But of course, you know, he has that 13 goals from last season in the PSL breakout season where he scored basically 80% of all of AmaZulu's total goals. Is this a player that walks into a big team's starting 11, Sean?
I think he needs another big season at AmaZulu, to be honest. That's my opinion, and no better coach than Benny to get them out of him. A world-class striker working with an up-and-coming, very good young striker. You know West Africa, man. You have 6 months of being great, and all of a sudden you're in the Bafana setup and this and that, and then 2 years later no one remembers who you are. So, very good player. I would like to see more of him this season. I'd like to see a good 10-15 games if he can squeeze it in, and then make a decision. But yeah, going on last year, for sure he's good enough to play for the big three or whatnot. But where is a good question.
Yeah, you know what's funny is Kickoff actually also reports that so his contract expires in June 2022, and he has had offers from Sweden and Egypt, but it says here neither could meet the player's expectations. Which, man, I wonder what lofty expectations those are like. I mean, but anyway, Deco, what do you make of Ntuli still trying to force his way out, reportedly?
Hey, Slu, it's tough because I thought last season he'll leave. You know, after having such a great season, he'll go and play for and just be challenged, because I don't think there was enough challenge at AmaZulu. He was carrying, I'm sure now the reason why he's giving this long term injury, it's because of he was carrying this team the whole season. His back is probably sore. he was carrying AmaZulu the whole season. Right? And now that he hasn't played and he's struggling with injuries, which is understandable. Probably maybe because of the way he was pushing himself, and probably, you know, if you look at the stats of so many players that have been in the PSL for so long, most of them, they haven't played regularly for a long time. And you find that when that happens, you know, start having injuries because the body's not used to that. And with Ntuli, I played with him at Sundowns. He's you know, looking at him the way he played last season, I think that's one of his best season, and he needs to leave. I don't believe, because the thing is, like, also the question would be, what's the player's ambition? You know, we can sit here and say that he needs to leave, but we don't know the player's ambitions. So if he wants to win the trophies, if he wants to go back into Bafana fold, and he wants to play in a big crowd, he needs to leave. He needs to go and compete with the best in the country. Compete for that first 11. Because the truth of the matter is, no disrespect to Majoro or Mushaga Zulu, when Ntuli's on form there, he will play regularly.
Yeah, of course.
So now, do you want to go and challenge for your place? Go and fight your Hroplas, your Gabuza, or Mango. You know, go and compete, because then you get to see yourself where you are. Because for me personally, I was the type of a player that I always wanted to compete with the best in the country, so that I can see where am I. So I think Ntuli's about time to leave. Because
but Teko, how could you compete with the best when you were the best, my brother?
Yeah, but the thing is, at the time, other guys were doing well as well. So yeah. I wasn't just looking at myself. I was looking at other guys that I was competing with directly.
Yeah.
So that was my competitiveness. I was like, I want to be better than that guy. If he scores 6, I want to score 12 this season.
Yeah.
If he crosses 4, I want to cross 8. But that's me being competitive. But I think there's so many guys that needs to be competitive. And also, if also as Ntuli, you want to be home and get paid well and be around your family, and then stay.
Yeah.
But don't be surprised when history repeats itself.
For sure.
Should be interesting to watch. I mean, we'll keep an eye on Ntuli's situation. But we move on to the international news desk. And for that, we are joined by one Kurt Buckerfield, international news correspondent for Sokola Duma. How are you doing, Kurt?
Hey, how's it going? All good, bro.
Kurtie.
Fellas.
Yes, man.
So we get to talk about Chelsea for a little bit. We focused on Man United last time out. Chelsea, man, what a situation they have there. I mean, upwards of £200 million spent in the last transfer window, bringing in the likes of Werner, Kai Havertz, and more. And I remember at the beginning of the season, a whole bunch of Chelsea fans had them, this is our year. You know, Lampard's gonna do the, like, and now sitting in eighth position, it's you know, they're below West Ham, they're below Everton, they're below Tottenham, 11 points off the pace, 3 of their last 5 matches losses. Okay, let's start with Lampard. Do you think that Chelsea are looking for a new coach right now?
Yeah, so we are led to believe through rumors circulating in England that Chelsea are looking for a German-speaking manager, as funny and strange as that sounds. But specifically looking for a German-speaking manager, not only to get the best out of Kai Havertz and Timo Werner, and even Christian Pulisic, who arrived from the Bundesliga as well, but also because they're used to operating with a director of football, and that's a similar structure to that of Chelsea's. So, yeah, the names in the Julian Nagelsmann from Leipzig, Ralf Hasenhüttl from Southampton, I actually think would be a great shout. Ralf Rangnick, who's currently unemployed, and then Thomas Tuchel, who's also currently employed after recently being sacked.
Jurgen Klopp.
It's difficult, man. Yeah. What do you think, Sean? Sorry?
Jurgen Klopp.
Look, I mean, I don't think I would call for Lampard sacking, but 7 points out of a possible 24 in their last 8 Premier League games reads, you know, really badly. And I do think that a manager with experience and know-how who will be able to get Chelsea back to at least playing decent football and winning matches, because that's all it's about right now. And pretty much forget, you know, trying to win the league like many tip them to. They can forget about that as high up as possible now. And I mean, it was always going to happen to Lampard. The transfer window he had, he was like a kid in a candy store, big money signings. And as much as I wanted it, it's proving to be too difficult a task at this stage in his career. And I think it just goes to show that players, even at that level, need coaching. And you forget those who are on high wages need instructions, they need direction, they need a manager with a clear picture of what he wants to do on the ball, without the ball, in front. And you know, football, like with every sport, is 90% mental. Your ability counts, of course, but it's about personality, about mental strength and stamina and confidence. And Chelsea right now couldn't buy those things, and not even if it was in the form of a 21-year-old German international worth 80 million.
Yeah, but I mean, if we turn back time, Kurt, we could say the same for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at United, and the powers that be at United stuck by him, and yeah, look what's happening now. So do you think is that an option at Chelsea to stick by Lampard and see where it goes, or is it too little, too late?
I see why you would draw a parallel, but I do think that Chelsea operate differently. They work on a system where they have a coach for no longer than 2-3 years. So I think it comes down to them looking for a replacement for him. I think United tried to go that route when we had, you know, I think it was 3 or 4 managers over a 5-year period, mm-hmm, or 6-year period. And it was clearly one. So I think that what they've done with Solskjaer is just go, you know what, we're going to give you time and see what happens ultimately. You aren't under pressure to win the league necessarily, but we'll give you time to, you know, build a project. And there's a Chelsea, they are sacking managers who even win league titles, like Conte and Sarri, who won the Europa League. It's a completely different system, but I can see why you would draw that parallel. Absolutely.
Who was wasn't there a coach who, I think this was maybe 2012, who won the Champions League and was sacked at the end of the season still?
Was it Di Matteo?
Di Matteo, that's the one, yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, and of course, maybe there's more to that story, but either way, Chelsea are quick on the trigger, though.
Yeah.
I mean, even Mourinho himself, you know, he wasn't able to win the Champions League there and they let him go, despite his league success. Deco, what do you make of this situation? Do you think that they should give Lamps a fair amount of the season to try and, you know, build the team back, you know, up to confidence, or do you think that they have to let him go at this point?
But the problem, Swoo, is this coach is going to give them a chance to build. They're forever building. Yeah? They're forever building, so they don't have an opportunity to actually think of start winning because they're forever building.
It's true.
So it's Frank the Builder. Can he fix it?
So now also you must understand that how much Chelsea have spent as well. You know, we spend so much money within the season, and like Curtis said, I think it's important for, irrespective of who it is, you want the players to be coached. And sometimes we take advantage of our senior players, they have experience of playing the national team. They should know what they're doing. No, as a coach also, you should know what you're doing. So mm-hmm, I think also being frank as well, being new into the system as well, it becomes difficult. But I think if they can find somebody else that can actually try and help him, that's if Chelsea still wants to keep him. But if they don't, they need to find somebody else to try and replace him, because time is going, my friend. You can't be building and building and spending so much money on paying those players and not getting results.
Yeah. And elsewhere, we have, you know, big story. I feel like I've seen this headline like 10 times now, but it is now official. You know, everybody's reporting Cristiano Ronaldo becomes top goal scorer in football history. It's remarkable, but you know what's crazy is I think we all expected this to happen eventually. Like, I think we all knew maybe like 10 years ago, like, Ronaldo's going to keep scoring these goals. Like,
yeah, for sure.
And he's going to play forever because we saw the fitness levels back then. So, you know, what's your initial reaction? I mean, I'm always taken aback when I think about what we've gotten the chance to witness in this generation of football, with the likes of, let's celebrate him today. I won't mention the other guy. Let's just celebrate Ronaldo today.
I'll mention him later.
But, you know, the fact that we get to watch a guy score so often every single season of his career, you know, he's the top scorer in Serie A. He's 97 years old now. and he says that he wants to keep playing for many more years. He's aiming for a 2022 World Cup with Portugal. So great accomplishments and still greater ambitions. What's your reaction to this?
Yeah, so in Juventus's Italian Super Cup win over Napoli on Wednesday night, stood for 66 years. Josef Bican was a Czech Republican striker who played between the 1930s and 1960s, during which he was believed to have 759 official goals. And Ronaldo now has 760. For me, Slu, I get what you're saying. So, like, we all saw it coming, but it just puts how great they've been, not just for this generation, but of all time. And I always go back to, on the show a few months back, but analysis in football today is that it's most advanced, and your strengths, your weaknesses are out there for everybody to see. There's a database. Everybody knows what you're going to do when you get the ball, where you like to play, where you shoot from, where you pass. And for Ronaldo to achieve these kinds of numbers in this era, unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable.
Yeah, I agree. Best ever.
Sean.
Well, I mean, let's say this. His rival Lionel Messi is 2 years younger than him, and he's on 719. So.
That's true. I was about to say that.
It's not the craziest thing to see Messi catching up there. And remember, Messi's got them assists, but we're not mentioning the other guy. Deco, what do you make of this? I mean, it's an insane stat to think of. 760, I can't even like picture that many goals as a highlight reel. One of, if not the GOAT, what do you make of the record?
This Ronaldo. Hey, he doesn't want to stop. Hey, this guy. Look, for me, I'll add on what Curtis said. I mean, to achieve it at his age and this era as well, where we've seen how difficult it is to, you know, to maintain consistency, because everybody knows your data now, and it's very, very difficult to keep that. And him being this consistent for so many years and still has the drive to actually continue in doing all the great things. He is a different beast, you know, and it's said that once they're done, these guys will never see such thing again. Mm. Rivalry where we'll see both players that are being the best or at the peak at the same time. Mm. But for me, I'd say, when I started watching Ronaldo was a quick winger, step over, you know, free kick taker, and then he became a goal machine. So now he's a goal machine, but the other guy is still the same. So the other guy is out of this planet. But anyway, so congratulations to Ronaldo, and I think he inspires so many kids around the world. And yeah, man, you know, he's looking after himself. I think if you have to look at him, I think he's the guy that he needs to teach these kids about being a true professional and being dedicated to your craft, and I think you show that always, Kerry.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So just some random fun facts before I let you go, Kurt. The most that he's ever scored against one team is 27 against Sevilla. He's also got 25 against Atletico. 488 with his right foot, 139 on his left, 131 with his head, and two via other body parts, which I find so funny as a sentence. And he has 46 hat tricks, 136 doubles, and there were 8 occasions where he scored 4 times in a match, and he scored 5 times in a match twice.
Jeez, so, guys.
So look, like Teko was saying, now he is an absolute freak. And by the way, he's at 760 now to 900. He's not stopping. He won't stop until he has that record, and knows that nobody else can catch him. He's not going to stop. Ronaldo is obsessed. He's not going to stop. We're talking about this for many years to come still.
Yeah, I think both Messi and Ronaldo are going to be chasing like Zlatan's status, where they want to be just as good when they're 39 as they were when they were 30 or 27. So it should be fun to watch. But that's all for the international news desk. Thank you very much, Kurt.
Cheers, guys.
Kurt. Cheers, bud. Thank you.
Cheers.
All right. So we have some PSL to react to. This week we saw TTM host Chiefs. And didn't go too great for TTM over there. Chiefs with a 3-0 win. That's their third win in 4, I believe. And, you know, the the vibe just seemed a lot better. When I watched that second half from Chiefs and TTM, they just looked so much more confident and comfortable on the ball. First half was a little shaky, but I think they pulled it all together. Sean, what do you make of the result?
Yeah, I agree completely. But just don't discount the fact how bad TTM really are. Chiefs were good. Chiefs were good. TTM were bad. But the momentum now is with Chiefs. You can see the way the boys are carrying themselves. And I remember Teko saying last week, he looked at the body, or 2 weeks ago, they looked at the body language. I think it was the AmaZulu game, Turkey, you're talking about, or the Chiefs guys. And they were just like, I don't want to be here, you know, sort of thing. But you could see the difference. There's smiles. You can see Gavin Hunt's a little bit more pumped up. Dylan Shepherd's always floating around like he's still playing. So that's pretty cool. But I mean, it's good, man. We want the Chiefs to be back up there. Good goals. Happy Mashiani's, hell of a player, isn't he? Jeez. And just nice to see Manyama back in action again. So good results. TTM are gonna struggle.
They are. That's 4 losses, I believe, in their last 5. Deco, what did you make of the match as we speed through these?
Sorry, Slu. You know how fixtures are lately. I was doing another game at the same time, so I didn't actually get to watch the game when I saw the results.
We had the Sundown Celtic one, right?
Yep.
All right, well, let's move straight there then. It was a tough one for Downs there. They were frustrated. I believe they were at home. And it kind of opened the door for Swallows to sneak to the top spot, but they didn't. Swallows ended up drawing as well. What did you make?
Yeah, you know, sometimes even when the doors and sliding doors are opened, the bets sometimes they don't, even if they come through, they don't stay. You know, so even with that window of opportunity, I thought Swallows will take it. But Celtics, nonetheless, they I think they enjoy playing against Sundowns. They came with a different plan. They defended very well. They knew how Sundowns are going to attack. And Sundowns couldn't get grip of the game. I think at certain moments, yes, Kevin got enough chances to bury the game. But the great save from the goalkeepers as well. And Celtics also, you know, they're always half offside, whether you're not sure of the results. But they came with a good plan. I just hope that Celtics, with the mentality that they had against the Sundowns, if they can keep up with that, I think they'll do well in the league. But Mamelodi Sundowns, I think that's the one game they need to go back and pull all the clips and analyze, because if teams saw that game, they'll start having the same system that'll play Mamelodi Sundowns, and Mamelodi Sundowns seem to struggle with the defensive minded Celtics.
Yeah,
and also don't forget, Teko, that Celtic had a goal disallowed, which was clearly a goal.
Yes,
I mean, unbelievable.
Officiating over the weekend, including in the Pirates Arrows match. As we move on, there was also a couple dodgy offside calls there. What did you make of that draw? Do you think that Arrows were perhaps a little lucky to escape with the point?
Slu, so I'm going to pull a Teko here, and I didn't see the game. I didn't see Pirates Arrows. I watched a couple of highlights, but not enough for me to really comment. But yeah, I mean, Teko, you obviously watched the game, eh?
I said obviously. Yeah, I watched the game. Look, Golden Arrows are a very stubborn team this season. I think they have this mentality that if we're not gonna win, we're not gonna lose the game. Yeah. And defending, you know, they're very strong. Yes, Mango came in, created enough chance, but I think the sub, yeah, Sam at the left, I think that was where Orlando Pirates was having so much joy.
Yes.
And once they took him out, the Hoto couldn't get to those positions as well to help Orlando Pirates. But I think the inconsistency of Orlando Pirates is starting to creep in, and yesterday it showed against a very stubborn side. And of course, with Arrows as well, they're not defending very well. They play very well as well. They're very dangerous. And I think in a couple of moments, yes, they could have punished Orlando Pirates, but they didn't. But also, they're taking pride of the fact that there's no big names within the team. You know, there are nobodies, but they compete, and they're not losing games, but also what's important as well, they need to understand that by not losing games doesn't mean you're not going to be relegated. Win games, More. Start winning games. You know, I think it's important for Arrows to be well structured, but start winning games as well. You know, and for me, I think yesterday they played well. Yes, but they need to start playing like a team that wants to.
Yeah, for sure. And last but not least, Swallows, of course, they had the opportunity to go top. But, you know, what's weird about Swallows is they seem to match Sundowns results every week. Like, whatever Sundowns does, Swallows manages to pull off the same thing. So even if they have a bit of a chance to close the gap or go ahead, they'll have the same results. So, but the draw against Chipper United, it's not the worst result, but, you know, they would have wanted a win for sure.
Yeah, I mean, a positive is Khamaldeen is flying, isn't he? So he's an absolute pleasure to be watching at the moment. Some concerns for Swallows, in my opinion, are the boys looked very, very tired. 70 minutes in, you know, 20 minutes left, they were really, really tired. And that's what got Chipper back in the game at the end of it. So that's my only concern. And like Teko said earlier in the podcast, you know, it's a 30-game season. So, you know, after seeing that game, you start questioning, do they have the legs? Do they have the mental ability to get through these? Because they are going to be quite a congested congested fixtures as well coming up towards the end of the season. So, yeah, I hope they're recovering enough, but they looked exhausted.
What did you make of it, Dex?
I think the great results were cheaper. Dance maybe can start building from that. Swallows, they had an opportunity to become top, and that's great for team spirit. But I think the biggest concern is... I think Swallows are okay as number two. I think the more we hype them up, mainly this pressure of them, you know, getting to the top and being, you know, the most hunted team in the league, I think that's not the pressure they want to find themselves in.
Definitely, definitely. Real quick, I'm going to speed through this week in football history so that we can get you guys' previews before we wrap up the show.
Today we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from this week in football history.
This week, back in 1971, former Barcelona player and manager Pep Guardiola was born in the Catalonian town of Sant Pedor. For those of you who don't know, he is literally Barcelona born and bred. This week, back in 1994, a full slate of six Scottish top flight matches resulted in a point for everyone as all six matches ended in a draw. And the headline of this article says, "A drawful day for football," in brackets, sorry. I do not accept that apology. This week, back in 2002, Gianfranco Zola scored a remarkable backheeled goal as Chelsea rolled over Norwich City in the FA Cup.
I remember that one. I do.
If you don't know what we're talking about, go on YouTube, search it right now. It's one of those, I feel like a lot of people have tried to emulate that goal, but when it happened, it was insane. And we move straight from there into the weekend preview, and we start with the big fixture of the weekend. Mamelodi Sundowns versus Swallows, the fight for top position. Who is your money on, Sean?
I'm going for Sundowns, purely the fact of how tired Swallows did look. And Sundowns is a team that just will not stop. But a draw is not out of the question yet, but I do think a Sundowns victory, to be honest.
Deco?
I think Sundowns are capable of winning this because of the depth that they have, even if they didn't have a great game against Celtic, but I think they can still justify themselves against Morocco Swallows over the weekend.
And then we have Kaizer Chiefs versus Stellenbosch. Who is your money on?
I think momentum is with Chiefs. I'm always been concerned about Stellenbosch's defense. I'm going for a 2-1 victory, Chiefs.
Deco.
Amakhosi Abuyile, is that what you say?
Yes, sir.
Hey, they creaked for this long game. I think it's going to be a very tough game for Kaizer Chiefs. Look, I see a draw. I see Stellies will try and fight themselves out and try to actually try and win it, but I don't see them win. So I think it's going to be a draw for Kaizer Chiefs. Just to calm them down a bit. Because if they win this one, now they're in top six. Now it's a different conversation altogether.
Exactly.
But I would love them to win, but a draw is fine for football sense.
And then we have their neighbors, Pirates, taking on Maritzburg United. Tough one. Pirates Paris really need this win, to be honest. What do you think is going to go down, Sean?
Yeah, it is a tough one. Maritzburg obviously fighting at the bottom, having a couple of good results, playing good football again. Pirates a little bit on the opposite side. I'm going for a draw, hey. I'm going for a draw.
Maritzburg win, chief. Putting my head on the block. I'll tell you why. Look, Maritzburg.
We didn't ask you why.
Okay, cool.
Tell us.
Listen, Maritzburg, structurally, they're very solid. They look very good. You look at how Orlando Pirates struggle when they play against teams that are well-structured. It becomes a problem because Orlando Pirates, you must understand that the strength of Orlando Pirates is counter-attacks.
Yeah.
They don't play out any defensive block. They rely on speed. If you don't give them that space for speed, they've got no other way to win the game. And Muddendorp, with those five men at the back defensively when attacking, is with those extra two wing backs. Look, man, I see Muddendorp winning this game because of how structured Maritzburg is. Leave Musia Midi alone, but I'm just saying, Pirates, they struggle with well-structured teams. Hence, yesterday they were struggling against Arrows because Arrows is well structured, and Maritzburg is more structured than Arrows.
Should be an interesting one. And in the last one that I want you guys to predict, TTM, everyone's favorite team, versus SuperSport United. And we were going to talk about the league's new deadly duo, Horobla and Gabuza, but we'll get to that next week. But what do you think of this fixture? SuperSport are in some pretty good form, actually.
Yeah, convincing win for SuperSport. TTM have got a lot of work to do, and that's the danger of assembling a brand new team at the beginning of the season where you've never worked with and you've got people at the top that are just crazy. Anyway, yeah, convincing SuperSport win.
Yeah, I don't want to get into details. Just convincing win for SuperSport. There's no way TTM can stop them.
TTM can't be stopped. SuperSport can't be stopped unless TTM have some very solid breaks. But, you know, if we're chatting cars, I think there's someone who's a lot better at that. Mr. Sean, what's our car of the week?
Yes. So we did mention him earlier. Mr. Majoro from AmaZulu has been pictured with a brand new Ford Ranger 2-litre bi-turbo double cab automatic 4x4. Ford Ranger has been the only bucky that has been able to give the Toyota Hilux a run for its money when it comes to units sold each month. In fact, the Ranger has achieved the near impossible and beaten the Hilux into second place on the odd occasion. Not the quickest of buckies around at 0 to 110.5 seconds, but it is as sexy as the 10-speed automatic transmission 2 does a fine job of selecting the appropriate cog for most driving situations. Indeed, it wouldn't surprise me if a healthy chunk of customers end up being bought on just the looks alone. Of course, there's an argument to be made that Ford could simply be slapped an aggressive body kit onto the standard Ranger, but those who get the chance to experience this machine at maximum attack off the beaten track will be glad this isn't the case. I love everything about this SUV. For me, a 9 out of 10, coming in at a whopping 900,000 rand.
Man, I wish I had that money in my back pocket.
Damn.
You know, if I'm going to start making money, I'm going to need some inspiration, some motivation, so to speak. I know a guy, he's got some great quotes that always get me fired up.
Yes, sir.
Who's our motivational quote of the week?
So this week is the young Keenan Phillips, who did play for Wits. I think he's at SuperSport now. Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds that you plant.
Yes. That was one. There was a week, like a long time ago, where I had to do all of your segments, Sean. Mm. And that was one of the quotes that I was thinking of. There was another player who did post it.
Oh, really?
But I love that quote though, because it's always like, you know, we judge ourselves by each day rather than the long term goal.
Exactly. That we're watching. Exactly,
but
bro.
Whether you have been listening to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or Mahikeng 96.7 FM's Game Time, that has been episode number 60 of The Car Wash. Thank you very much for tuning into the show. I have been your host, Slu. That has been Mr. Sean Roberts.
Thank you, brother.
That has been Mr. Teko Modise.
Sure, Slu.
And we will see you all same time, same place next week. Peace.
Away.
Today is a great day for car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. This is a Sangana car.